Now, how's the Environment Centre at the moment?
Yeah, really good. Bursting, it seems, with busyness as always.
That's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, yep. We're super busy here at the radio station. I've had heaps of new DJs recently.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
looking
in the last few months, about nine of them, including Katie, who's one of the people from the Environment Centre as well.
That's so, right, yep. Yep, yes. Katie does our funding applications and is currently overseeing the Repair Cafe.
Yes, that's right. Actually, she wants to chat about that at some point as well. So, yeah. So, all right. So, what's... we got something tonight, haven't we? No, we had something last night. What happened
we
last night?
Last night we had our 19th science night at the pub.
Right.
And we had Bruno David doing a presentation on whitebait.
Which I think I've interviewed him about whitebait before a long time ago. Oh. He's always good to listen to.
Oh, gosh.
He's so enthusiastic about
it. Oh, man. Honestly, I loved it so much. It was just fascinating. He's a really good presenter, that guy. Yeah, he's an amazing presenter. There was just so much I learned. It was just like there was really good video footage of that his research that he's done himself, showing. Yeah, it was just amazing. Like just showing the different, because of course it's five species, right? And we had a really good crowd. There was some. Like, as always, there were people there that we've never seen before, but it was great. We had like a couple of guys who are working on the roadworks at the moment in town,
right,
that are staying in town, and they were there with their work gear. Just turned up to the pub for a drink after work, and I chatted to them, and they're like, "What's happening here?" And I'm like, "Science night, it's about whitebait." And they're like, we'll hang around and even ask questions. And so it was like, and a few different locals as well. Yeah, so it was just really, really good, and it was just fascinating.
I guess that's the benefit of being in the front of the harbour view. Like, were you in the front of the harbour view?
Yep.
The last time I went, you were. So, yeah, you just pick up people, we casuals.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. And that's the whole reason why I like it there, is because it just makes it a lot more accessible for people. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And you've got another one coming up quite soon, haven't you?
Yeah, on the 30th of August. So in 2 weeks' time, we've got another science night, our 20th. And this is a really good one for anyone who posts on the notice board wanting to know or coming up with solutions for coastal erosion around here. We have got, I'll be posting it up today. I think we're calling it our Changing Coast. You get to come and learn how the sand moves on our west coast, insights into living with erosion, local coastal processes, how we can work with nature and care for our coast. And our guest speakers, we've actually got three guest speakers for this one.
Yep.
They're the experts around here. So if you've got questions,
yes,
these are the people to ask. So we've got Angeline Greensill.
Yep.
Which is really exciting. Can't wait to hear Angeline's experience and point of view.
Yeah.
Then we've got Stacey Hill. So Angeline, of course, is Tainui Hapu. Then we've got Stacey Hill from Coast Care Waikato and Sean Mead from eCoast.
Sure, yeah, that's good. I interviewed Stacey and Angeline a few weeks ago.
I heard that.
And that's just, it settles you down. Because you think, especially like around Papahui, you're like, oh my God, it's been attacked from both sides. But the shifting coastline is
that's right. The north. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to start with that and then see actually, is there anything actually worrying happening in that context?
If you've been sitting at home watching the coast, coastal erosion, wondering why the council aren't doing certain things that you've seen other councils do, this is your opportunity to come and ask those questions and understand what's happening and what the plan is.
I must admit, I haven't talked to Shaw recently about it, but I would like to, specifically what's happening on this side of Papahua, because when they change the walk bridge, it is causing changes and will continue to, but
come to Science Night.
Yes, ask some questions.
So that next Science Night will be the 30th of August, a Wednesday, of course, as always with Science Night, in the front bar of the Harbourview Hotel from 6 to 7 p.m.
Awesome.
Come down early if you want to grab a beer and dinner so you can get a good seat.
Now, can I just check in? I was talking about a fermentation workshop that might be happening this weekend, but you're saying it's
been postponed until next month.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm just sorting that out today with what the postponement date was. Yeah.
Okay, so yep. we'll find out later what that.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. But everyone, I've closed off ticket purchases for that, and everyone who had registered has already been informed and locked in for the next date, so that's fine.
Okay, yep. all right. It's just we've got on and what's on. So
yeah, sorry.
I'd like it to be. Well, no, that's all right. We'll keep track of it. There's lots.
It does happen.
There's lots of stuff on there.
Occasionally, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so Excites Night is, I think I'm booked out for the rest of the year already.
Right, really, got more people lined up.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Like, in September, we're going to be doing a Science Night on some freshwater, some work that is happening around the area, and we've got Landcare coming in as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really good Science Night. Sorry if I'm not giving much away about that one, because I... just yet to actually work out what it's actually about.
Okay, you got the person lined up.
Yeah, but September is, yeah, so, yeah, think restoration, wetland, fresh water, oh, okay. specifically fresh water restoration, awesome. And weeds maybe. And then in October we've got this young guy called Rata who runs he's converted a shopping trolley, supermarket trolley, into a cart that has got siren speakers that come out the top of it, and he calls it his waste wucker.
Yeah.
And he pushes it around the inner streets of Auckland City, pumping his sounds, picking up trash. Yeah, he's amazing. Right. He's incredible, and he does vigilante native planting in town, even outside the council offices in downtown Auckland.
Of course.
Yep, he's incredible. He's very, very, and he's going into schools helping them with their native planting, but he's just a really incredible young man. And so he's going to be speaking at our Science Night on the 18th of October. Really excited about that. I think it's going to be a really fun Science Night, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds intriguing. Yeah, not what I was expecting.
Yep. So keep your eye out for details to follow on all of our Science Nights coming up. You can go to our website, whaingaroa.org.nz, and click on our event tab at the top of the page, or you can go to our Facebook. And we're on Insta and TikTok as well.
Okay.
Yep.
TikTok as well?
Yeah. Mm. I know, I feel a bit old on there, to be honest.
Oh, there are people of all ages. I know it's dominated by younger people, but there are older people on there.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's a bit scary sometimes. Yep. Okay, so also this Sunday we have got our next Soil to Supper. For those who have been following, we've been doing a series of Soil to Supper topics. This month is Seedy Secrets for Spring Planting. So we've actually got a bit of a seedy expert that is coming over from Hamilton to talk about seeds, everything seeds. His name's Michael, and he's the coordinator for Te Puna Kai o Waikato, and Michael's been working in horticulture for the past 16 years, and he's gained a real interest in sustainability and local food production and seed saving. And he actually initiated a heritage seed garden out at the Fairfield project in Kirikiriroa. And he also coordinates the seed share project at Go Eco. So he's a busy man, and he knows his stuff. Yep. So if you want to learn about seed saving and seed sowing, this is the man you want to come and listen to and ask questions from.
Right. And we are presumably getting into planting time soon.
We ideally want to start, you know, like
I'm no expert, you can tell.
Yeah, like, what is it? It's usually Labor weekend you start planting your vegetable garden, right?
I don't know.
October? And it can take some seeds, it can take like a month or two for them to actually get to seedling stage.
Right.
So we really are coming up to the point of where people are starting to grow from seed.
Yeah, so yeah, this is the expert man coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So that is this Sunday, as I said. The time. So Sunday. What date is Sunday?
20th.
20th. Sunday 20th.
2 p.m. It says here.
Yeah. Two to four p.m.
Yeah.
We would really love it if it was like this, the weather on Sunday.
I'm sorry, I can't arrange that so well.
Ideally, it was going to be held in the community garden at on Wenera Street.
Yeah. but if it's
the
not,
police station there. But backup plan.
Yeah.
If the weather is horrible, it's going to be in the basement meeting space of the community house.
Okay.
Right next to us over here, next to the town hall.
Yep.
Yep. And if anyone is wanting to come to that, but if you haven't been, the community garden is on Wenera Street behind the police station, the community house basement meeting room. If you walk down, go into the car park next to the left of the town hall, and you walk down to the bottom of the community house behind it, that's the basement meeting space there. It's a really lovely space there.
Yeah, very handy facility, that one.
Yeah, but this Soul to Supper event, as with most of our, or if not all of our events that we do, that where food is the focus, there is food involved.
Mm.
So ideally bring along a something to share, because I think there's going to be some eating together. And I think that they've got some samples of some seasonal vegetable dishes and things that will be there as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What else you got? There were
the next repair cafe.
The next repair cafe.
Yeah. So repair cafe number 3.
Are we back in the basement of the community house this time?
No. It's just because they want to try out different locations, different venues, give them a test run. Different dates, different times.
Last time I heard it was because the radio station booked the basement of the community house. You had to go somewhere else because of that.
I don't think so. I think the plan was always to test out, just not test them out, but just like kind of, because, you know, we're in the test phase of the repair cafe to see what kind of reaction or support the community gave the repair cafe. And it's been overwhelming, to be honest, like beyond expectations.
I saw there were a lot of people when I popped in last time. So that was in the town hall supper room. Where is it this time?
It's at the hall on Stewart Street, in the church hall there.
Okay.
Yep. So where the Raglan Growers Market is usually.
Right.
Yeah, yep. So it's just to feel out like whether Saturdays or Sundays are popular, whether it's mornings or afternoons. And obviously as the repair cafe, people become more familiar with it and it gains more popularity, to see which venue it suits as well.
Yeah. Yep. So what sort of things can we get repaired there?
So this week, we got like 3 or 4 electricians that have joined up.
Right.
It's pretty amazing, actually. So there's electrical repairs. So we're talking, remember, nothing that we offer at the Repair Cafe is going to ever be at the time or skill level, or no, take away the skill level part, the time and level of our professional repairers in town. So you can't rock up with your washing machine. But if you've got small household appliances, like, you know, we're talking lamps or a vacuum cleaner, that kind of thing.
So it could be something simple, a loose wire.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, they'll say whether they can look at it or not, but generally it's like, you know, really only want to be dedicating a max of 20 minutes to an item.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's not a big overhaul.
No.
Yeah.
No. We do have specialists for those. Or sorry, not specialists, but businesses who offer those repairs at a cost.
Oh, in town. Okay. Yeah. And so you're not treading on people's toes with that either.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So aside from electrical, what else?
I've got testing and tagging.
Testing and tagging.
Yeah, okay. So appliances that maybe you've bought them secondhand, or I don't know, you're just like, it might be something that's been sitting in a cupboard for a very long time and you're not sure if it's got old wiring, you're not sure whether you want to risk using it at home just yet. So come along and it'll get tested and tagged.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
General repairs. There is textile repairs, garment mending, bike repairs, and if you check in with the event page, you will see that I believe there's more to be announced.
Okay. If I've got something like a little backpack, not really a backpack, just a day bag, and the shoulder strap's coming off, can I get that sewn back on?
Yes.
Because that's a fairly heavy-duty sewing machine. That's not like...
I think at the first repair cafe, someone fixed a whole suitcase. Molly repaired a suitcase.
Well, there we go then.
Yeah.
Thank you, Molly.
yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I've got, I think, 3 items of clothing that I'm taking to the next one that have just been sitting there waiting to get mended.
There's so many things you think, oh, that could be fixed easily, but you kind of never quite get to it. Just, you know,
well, it's
piles
not just
of stuff.
That. It's also the level of skill involved. Like, I've got a pair of overalls that the seam at the side has just over the years has just come undone. And that I don't have a sewing machine. I actually don't know how to use a sewing machine.
Right.
Because I'd learnt when I was a little kid, but then didn't keep with it. So there's going to be sewing machines there, and I'm pretty sure that's just like something that they can just quickly throw through the sewing machine. And then I've got a jumper that, like Stella's jumper, that the dog jumped up on, who a brand new knitted jumper,
of course,
and
yes.
put holes in the sleeve.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to wear it in case it unravels, so she's spent all winter not being able to wear that new jumper. So, yeah, I'm going to take that along because the visible mending that some of them do is really amazing, like really beautiful, yeah.
Wow, skilled people. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And then the bike repairs, of course, like just really the basic maintenance repairs. Mm.
When you guys started this, you mustn't have really known who was going to come out of the woodwork in terms of people who can fix
stuff.
You have
no idea. I think at the very start, before the very first one, there was like a little bit of like concern. Are we going to have enough repairers? But people have really, really got on board in support of this.
Mm. I mean, people are certainly sick of the inability to repair a lot of stuff that we have these days, stuff
that's
made to be used and thrown away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to tap into that quite easily, I'd say.
That's right. And we've actually been – we've had a growing membership base of the Tool Library as well because of the fact that, you know, we've got really, really good quality items in the Tool Library when it comes to, like, garden maintenance, for example, and – That means that you don't have to store those items at home. You don't have to pay for the maintenance or do the maintenance of those items, you know.
Yeah, because you might not use them that much. They might.
No, that's right. Yeah. Like, for example, we've got a new water blaster in there that has been the most popular one right now, the water blaster.
Okay. Yeah. You think there's enough water out there, but...
Well, they're quite expensive, the water blaster. Yeah, but I had to use it because... I hadn't, Stella slipped over on the deck.
Right, so you got
So I had to water blast the deck.
Yeah,
for safety reasons.
This year especially, everything's been damp for so long.
Yeah,
A lot of stuff's getting slippery.
That's right, yeah. I think I have to do it again already.
Probably, wouldn't surprise me.
So anyway, Repair Cafe number 3 is the 9th of September. And as mentioned, it's going to be in the hall on Stewart Street, where the growers market usually is. And that starts, that's going to be running from 10 to 12. So it's just 2 hours, 10 to 12.
Yep, okay.
Yep. We also have...
The Coastal Cleanup?
International Coastal Cleanup Day is September the 16th. And
month away.
Yep, and myself and Stacey from Coast Care, Waikato, and Gemma from Sustainable Coastlines, who lives in Raglan as well. Between the three of us, we've decided that we've organised a beach clean at Ruapuki again, because it is probably the coastline that does get the most rubbish.
Is that the one, the bit of a magnet in our kind of
area?
It's
a magnet. It's a collection point for ocean rubbish. Yeah, just due to those currents coming in. Last time we were there doing an organised beach clean was in February. I don't know if you remember. We had the bus, the Raglan shuttles sponsored us by supplying their 24-seater bus and driver for free.
Right.
And we had... we had free coffee at Indies before everyone got on the bus.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's good support.
Then a barbecue afterwards as well with the butcher's sausages and some veggie sausages as well. It was really cool.
Are we doing this again?
Well, this is the Save the Date event.
Yep.
More details to come.
Okay, so 16th of September, folks. That's a Saturday.
16th of December.
In the afternoon.
The low tide, because we always do beach cleans at low tide, so that's going to be in the low tide is in the afternoon, like late afternoon.
Yeah.
So we want to be on the beach, starting the beach clean at 2 p.m. So we'll be leaving town at 1.
Is that which part of the beach?
South car
south.
Park.
Okay. Yep.
The north car park got a little bit washed away in that big storm.
They haven't fixed that yet.
I haven't been out there since, March, probably.
Yeah, I don't know
March, April.
I'm just completely clueless about that particular car park.
Well, that February beach clean that we led, we had over 40, I think there was something like 46 volunteers. Because, of course, you get all the locals turning up as well.
Yeah.
And we collected 44 kgs of rubbish, including things like...
44 kgs. Okay.
Yeah, 24 kgs.
24 kgs.
Which is a lot. If you think about, you're also picking up a lot of small, light rubbish.
Well, yeah, it can only be stuff that the sea can push around. Anything
It was an inflatable mattress was one of them.
How?
Good question.
Yeah.
But it was, so that was the day before that cyclone hit. We did the beach clean.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yep. And it was beautiful. It was like a bit windy, but it was actually nice out there, cloudy and windy. And I think the cyclone hit that night. And then Stacey and I, the next weekend, went back out there to have a look. And we only did about 50 metres because we were just doing a quick walk. And we collected another, I think, 17 kgs. Just between the two of us.
So that's a bit of a shame that you got the storm the day after.
Yeah.
I feel like you haven't. But
it was good because we were collecting stuff that might have just got more embedded in the banks or got washed back out.
Okay.
Yep. So now I'm really looking forward to, I know that locals do little beach cleans, but we do that entire stretch. It works out to be, I think it's 2 kilometres of that beach is 2 kilometres long. Yeah, so it's a walk from the south end car park up to the north and then back. Now, the other thing is that we're right in the middle of breeding season for the dotterel.
Yes.
So we are not going to be going near any sand dunes or any areas where dotterel are breeding. We do know that from talking to a couple of local experts that there aren't any dotterel breeding where we enter that part of the beach. So we're good. We will be doing... We'll be waiting until probably like March before we do any other beach cleans in other areas like at Tiako or the beaches south of Ruapuki Beach.
Does that also mean about bringing dogs? Shouldn't bring dogs or because it's that season?
In the areas where they're nesting, yeah, you don't want to be taking dogs at all.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that applies around the beaches here too in Raglan.
That's right.
There's all sorts of nesting happening at the moment.
Nesting. Yep. Lots of nesting. Lots of breeding. Yep. Of both oi and dotterel. Yeah.
Yeah. And other birds. Penguins as well.
Penguins.
Yep. There have been in previous years down on the
love
beach.
Penguins.
So yeah, keep the dogs on a lead or take them for a walk somewhere else.
Yeah. Just be responsible dog owners. I've got a dog. Just don't let your dogs off lead around the sand dunes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's the 16th of September. Go onto either our website or our Facebook page to keep in the loop about that. But just click going or interested so that you've got that event saved and then you'll see more details about what that event looks like as well.
There we go, did it.
Yeah. Good on you.
It's sitting here on the screen, so I thought might as well.
And then also we do have the Raglan Growers Market starting next month. Yay!
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
I know, I'm so excited.
I was about to say it feels like it just finished, but it actually wasn't that long ago because it was like June or something. Didn't it go to June?
End of May.
End of May.
It went to May.
That's June's at the end of May.
Was it? Yeah, mid-May, I think we finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just doesn't feel that long ago.
Yeah, we just take... Well,
I think it extended, didn't it?
It extended. Yeah. It started earlier and it finished later because of the fact that there was produce. The stallholders wanted to start earlier and we're starting earlier again this year. So you never know. One day, eventually, we might just be running all year.
All year.
Don't know. Yeah. But it was also, it was nice for everyone to just take a little breather for a few months.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. Yeah. Mm. So are all the growers aware? Is everyone looking for new growers?
We don't announce a date without making sure that we've got committed stallholders.
Yeah, of course.
Yep, and I believe we've got 10 of those already. And we just announced, so we went back to the existing stallholders, confirmed who was going to be there. There's 10 just from the existing. And then yesterday we opened up applications to new stallholders. So that is, I've posted that up on our website and our and the Raglan Growers Market Facebook page.
Okay. And are you doing that thing again where you had a table where people could just do one-off stuff so they don't have to be a regular? They just might have grown something?
Oh, the community stall.
Yeah.
Yeah, the community stall's still there. Yeah, yeah. So that is literally just for people who just have like a couple of items in their backyard garden that they want to sell.
Yeah, so you don't have to be an organised grower, methodical, business-like, planning ahead so much. You might just have some excess.
Not for any of it. You can, like, remember, like... stalls are only $20.
Yeah.
And that might seem like a lot, but we do have expenses that we have to cover.
Yeah, of course.
And then also, I think other markets, the other farmers' markets, charge it's $40 upwards for regular stall holders.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's $20 for a stall. You might want to just give it a test run. We don't ask for any commitment, apart from what we expect from our stall holders in terms of where, like, the produce grown within a 100K radius of Raglan. We are really, really we're putting our foot down about some of the waste as well. So we're trying to work towards a zero waste market. So we really need the community and our customers to start supporting us by bringing their own reusables. So that's,
you got paper bag? Is that how? What's the status of paper bags?
There's gonna be like, so if you, there are some products that still need certain type of packaging from a health and safety point of view.
Yeah.
Food safety. So we're just looking at some of those on a case-by-case basis. They might not be able to sell their product without certain packaging. That's different.
Paper bags are really easy to get now that their legislation's changed. And the supermarkets
but paper bags are not a good choice.
So you're saying reusable is better.
Reusables, yep.
Yeah,
reusable, okay. People. So bring your own bags, bring your own containers, bring your own plates, bring your own spoon, all of it. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Reusable Raglan is where it's at.
So that's starting up again when?
29th of September, okay. Friday. It's the same weekend as Daylight Saving starts.
Of course, perfect match. Yeah,
I know,
that's good.
Perfect
that's,
match.
Yeah, because then that'll...
Although I think Daylight Saving starts on the Sunday.
Sunday morning, yeah. But it's people will be getting psyched for it. So
and just remember, 5 to 7 p.m., Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Folks, we've been talking to Jasmine from the Environment Centre. Is that everything the Environment Centre is up to at the moment?
It is, and I better go because I've got a course starting in 20 minutes.
Zoom course. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in, Jasmine.